Hello and welcome to another episode of Finally Following God's Laws, episode 34. So welcome back. If you've been following this series, I hope you have. If not, you know, you can always go to the end. It shows you like a video of the previous one I made. Also, we've been doing a recording every Monday, a live Bible study, Bible breakfast on David, on me, or rather on the Lord. Okay, so today we're going to go ahead and start this new section of God's laws, okay, his instructions, his rules, okay, his yoke is not heavy, it's a light yoke, and it's not burdensome. So today we're going to go ahead and today's going to be 7 or 8, okay, I'm not too sure, I think it's 8, okay, and then in the next one will be 7, okay, so today we're I'm going to bring you that right now in a little bit, but it's going to be 8, and it's 263 through 270. So like I said, if you've been enjoying these, please share them, hit the like button, share and subscribe, and just go ahead and stick around to the end. And there's other videos that it's going to offer you at the end. So you go ahead and hit those previous videos, and also that study we're doing live each Monday on the book of Luke. Okay. The book of Luke, very powerful, very powerful. So once again, 263 through 270. I'm going to go ahead and always enter a start with a very powerful scripture in the beginning and one at the end, okay, to close it off, okay, at the very end, okay? So once again, my name is David, if you don't know. So here we go. Let me get to that screen, and we'll go ahead and begin. All right. 613 laws of God. Is it possible to keep them, or too heavy a burden or yoke? Let's take a closer look and see for ourselves. 263 through 270. Now, here's that first scripture. I always say I bring you one in the beginning, one at the end. I really love these scriptures that I share. I mean, they're just powerful. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, 1 through 5, it says, "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised an oath to your ancestors." Now, I'm going to park it there for just a second. And we know that this was from Egypt right there, Mount Zion. And he's promising them what? That they're going to live in a land with milk and honey. But he has to test them first, right? So we know that this is the promise he made, the Abrahamic covenant, when they're going to enter and possess the land. Also, they did, but also fast forward all the way to the end, okay, where we're going to enter into Jerusalem with the Lord himself, the Lord himself, the holy procession, okay? We will enter the second Exodus, if you want to call it, and enter into the Holy Land, okay, to set up and start the millennial kingdom reign, okay? So ultimately, this is what this is talking about. So here we go, verse 2. "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands." Okay, so let me park it right there real quick again and just point out, though, that we are in a testing right now. Remember, the Lord tells us he's going to test us. He's going to test our faith. And so this is what we're going through right now. You could say we're going through those 40 years. I know it's literally a lot more than that, but we go through that all our lives. We're being tested. Our faith is being tested generation after generation until he comes and he returns, okay? And he goes. So this is a testing. It's a humbleness to humble us and to test us, okay? "In order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands," okay? It makes perfect sense on this and what he's doing now with us, okay? In other words, what was in our hearts, what is in our hearts, and whether or not we would keep his commands, okay? And we're going to go into those scriptures later at the end. Verse 3, it says, "He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord," which is the Torah, amen, his instructions. Verse 4, your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. It's a miracle in itself, right? Verse 5, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Remember, he disciplines us because he loves us. He loves us full of compassion and mercy, and this is why he disciplines us, okay? And so once again, know that in your heart that as a man disciplines his son or a mom or a dad, okay, so the Lord your God disciplines you, okay? So with that, let's go ahead and start and give you the breakdown once again on if you were grafted in, you are no longer Gentile, stranger, or foreigner. You are one with Yeshua. You are one in the Lord. You have now been grafted into the Commonwealth of Israel, okay? And we got scriptures for you. So I put here, and always remember, if you were once a Gentile, you have now been grafted into the Commonwealth of Israel. And so what this means is that all these laws, instructions, ordinances, statutes, and holy days apply to you and me. Check it out. Exodus 12:49. The same law shall apply to both the native and the foreigner who resides among you. Numbers 15, verses 15 and 16. The assembly, the church, there's only one church. Remember, one body, one church, one Godhead. That is the Lord himself. The assembly is to have the same statute, both for you and for the foreign Gentile resident. It is a permanent statute for the generations to come. You and the foreigner, the Gentile, shall be the same before the Lord. The same laws and the same ordinances will apply both to you and to the foreigner residing with you. So once again, the same laws and the same ordinances will apply both to you and to the foreigner residing with you. Amen. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 22. You are to have the same law for the foreigner, the Gentile, and the native born. I am the Lord your God. You're probably saying, see, Gentile, we are still Gentiles. No. You're going to see for yourself, this is scripture, no longer foreigners or strangers, okay? No longer Gentiles. We're one in Yeshua, okay? Watch this. So in the New Testament, okay, Ephesians 2, verses 12 through 13 and 19 and 20. Remember that at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Consequently, here we go, you are no longer Gentiles, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, okay? On the Torah, on the Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of them, the apostles, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Amen and amen, right? Oh, that's for the ending. So, and with that, here we go. Now, this section is only four of them, four in this section right here. It's about injuries and damages, okay? There's only four pertaining to this section, injuries and damages, okay? And then we'll go to the next section. But there's four for right now. 263, to make a parapet for your roof. You said, what, chia pet? No. I'm not making fun of the Lord's commands, okay? Just a little bit of humor there. Not a chia pet. It's a parapet. And actually, I didn't know what a parapet was. And maybe you don't know what a parapet is, okay? And so I'm like, what is a parapet? Okay, it sounds like a pet, right? No, it's something different. Maybe you smart ones out there know what this is already. I had to look it up, okay? A parapet is actually the roof. That like in these days, I guess on the roofs in Israel, They use them. I didn't look into this. Okay. But I think usually they would go on their roofs, maybe the way that they were built. Okay. On a hill or whatever the fact, but they go on the roof, and it sounds like a pretty good idea. It kind of gave me idea, right? So, anyhow, it's a parapet is for your roof. It's like, if you're going to use it like a balcony, if you're going to use it like something to go on top of, maybe look at the sky or whatever, you always have to what? You got to put a wall, okay, around on the roof, kind of like a balcony, right? So in order for someone won't fall, okay? Now, I know there's insurance nowadays that you can get, like if anybody's in your house and they slip on the floor or whatever, they're covered, okay? But if not, they could actually sue you. So, but this is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about so they don't injure themselves, okay? So once again, to make a parapet for your roof, Deuteronomy 22:8, it says, when you build a new house, make a parapet around your roof so that you may not bring the guilt of bloodshed on your house if someone falls from the roof. Okay, so there you go. There you have it. Now, 264, not to leave something that might cause hurt. Once again, the same scripture, Deuteronomy 22:8, it says, when you build a new house, make a parapet around your roof so that you may not bring the guilt of bloodshed on your house if someone falls from the roof, okay? Not to leave something that might cause hurt, okay? So, 265, to save the pursued, even at the cost of the life of the pursuer. Now, I wanted to explain this to you. Deuteronomy 25:12, okay? I had to look into this because it kind of didn't make sense when it uses 25:12 Deuteronomy, but after researching it, it makes sense now, okay? It says, you shall cut off her hand, show her no pity. Now, I would recommend you go to Deuteronomy 25:11 and 12, okay? But this points out 12, okay? Being that if someone is running, okay, say you yourself are there and you see somebody running, okay, fleeing, okay, they're running, okay, and then you see somebody chasing them, okay? You see this for yourself, okay? And you see maybe somebody else jump into it and they catch that one running, okay? Now, we don't know. From you watching, you don't know why that person is running. Maybe that other person chasing is actually attacking that person. Or maybe that person did something wrong and he's fleeing and somebody is running after him. Okay, regardless, you don't know the situation. And so you should try to stop it and make peace, okay? You should not just turn a blind eye, which most people do. They turn a blind eye, okay? And so they don't want no trouble, right? So in other words, but also, you know, police officers, they actually, if they would stop somebody like that, they don't know. They got to get what's going on. They got to get the facts before, okay? So right here, it has to do with this, right? If you're a bystander and you don't try to help, okay, the one being pursued, okay, and you let him get beat up or whatever the fact may be, like in this institution, the lady, if you reach 11, the wife actually grabs him somewhere. And you don't do anything about it. That's what it is about. Then you're liable. You have broken, transgressed God's law. Okay, this is one of his instructions, okay? You have transgressed, you have broken the law by not helping and not stopping, at least trying to stop that one being pursued, okay? And so that's the breakdown of this one, okay? So it says, you shall cut off her hand, show her no pity. Now, we know that we don't cut off no one's hand, okay? So remember, those things that the Lord took to the cross for us, okay? The penalties for breaking one of his transgressions, he took that to the cross physically. These things were to be done and no longer, okay? Thank the Lord for that, right? But okay, so here we go. So that's what this one means. 265 is the next one. Once again, it pertains to the same thing, not to spare a pursuer, but he is to be slain before he reaches the pursued and slays the latter, or uncovers his nakedness. Deuteronomy 25, 12. Okay. So once again, you shall cut off her hand, show her no pity. Okay. So that was the end of that section that pertains to that, those that it pertained to. So now we have in this section, we start off property and property rights. Okay. And so this is going to be the remainder. I believe it's, well, it says it right here, just a few, 267 through 270, okay? Property and property rights, okay? So 267, not to sell a field in the land of Israel in perpetuity, perpetuity, okay? Leviticus 25, 23, another word I had to look up, okay? It means not to sell it permanently, okay? Because we know the land of Israel belongs to who? Israel? No, okay? It belongs to the Lord, just like the whole earth belongs to the Lord. But he chose that real estate, that piece of land that so much for so long, that little piece of land that makes so much controversy throughout all these years, right? So much, okay? It is his land, okay? It's not the Palestinians. It's not the Israelites. Yes, they will inherit the land, but until he returns, they will inherit it, okay? Yes, they occupy it now. Yes, it's the holy land, okay, per se, but it's going to be fully given to them, okay, with every right when he returns. Anyhow, this is why he says, do not sell a field in the land of Israel in perpetuity. You can sell it, but don't sell it off permanently, okay? Leviticus 25:23. It says, the land must not be sold permanently because the land is mine and you reside in my land as foreigners and strangers. So it's like, what? Foreigners and strangers, they're his people. But he said, that's my land, okay? Make clear of it. I love this. Okay. I love this because the Lord's saying, you know, all the disputes going on, everything. The Lord's saying, that's my land. Okay. You guys are living there. You're my people. Yes. But that's mine. Okay. And he clearly makes it right here. He clarifies it really clear. The land must not be sold permanently. This is Leviticus 25, 23. Because the land is mine, says the Lord, and you reside in my land as foreigners and strangers, okay? So don't sell off his land permanently, okay? He's coming back to claim his land, okay? It's going to be awesome to redeem and to claim what's his, okay? We know the whole earth is his and everything in it, the universe and everything, but this is the real estate that he chose, okay? So he will be back to claim it, and he's making clear, all right? So I love that one. 268, not to change the character of the open land about the cities of the Levites or of their fields, not to sell it permanently once again, but it may be redeemed at any time. Leviticus 25, 34. Verse 34, it says, but the pasture land belonging to their towns must not be sold. It is their permanent possession, okay? But the pasture land belonging to their towns must not be sold. It is their permanent possession. Now, I just want you to go to Ezekiel on your own time, a little bit of homework, right? In Ezekiel chapter 45, I say read the whole thing, but go ahead and read the beginning. It is a blessing because this is the millennial kingdom. These verses in Ezekiel are the millennial kingdom verses as spoken of by Ezekiel, the prophet, okay? And so I recommend that you go there because I put here in the small letters here at the bottom, it says, see Ezekiel 45, 1 through 7, land allotted to the people, okay? Talking about land, the land allotted to the people, us, his people, and the priests of our Lord in the millennial kingdom. Once again, Ezekiel 45, 1 through 7, land allotted to the people and priests of our Lord in the millennial kingdom. Check it out, all right? So, 269, that houses sold within a walled city may be redeemed within a year. Leviticus 25, 29. Houses sold within a walled city may be redeemed within a year, almost like a lease, a sublease, okay? could be redeemed within a year. In other words, you sell it for a year, you can redeem it back in a year if you want to, okay? So verse 29, anyone who sells a house in a walled city retains the right of redemption a full year after its sale. During that time, the seller may redeem it, okay? Amen. So last but not least, 270, not to remove landmarks, property boundaries. Deuteronomy 19, verse 14, not to remove landmarks, property boundaries, okay? Once again, you could go to Ezekiel. There's boundaries, okay? It's allotted land. It's very interesting, okay? Because it's speaking about the millennial kingdom. And so he gives us detail. I went into Ezekiel one time and it just blew my mind. He gives us a blueprint. If you want to know what the millennial kingdom is going to be like when we're there and what it looks like, go to Ezekiel, okay? It's going to blow your mind, okay? Just detail after detail, okay? The last chapters of Ezekiel is just amazing, okay? And also Zechariah gives us details of what the new millennial kingdom is going to be like and what it's going to look like. All right, so Deuteronomy 19, 14, verse 14. Do not move your neighbor's boundary stone set up by your predecessors in the inheritance you receive in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Now remember, they were given the land to possess, okay? Or did they do a good job about it? No, a few times. You know what happened, right? They're allowed to be invaded by the Lord. He brought against them so many powerful nations, and they are still doing it. They're surrounded by enemies now. And so the Lord, one day, he was going to give it to them permanently, okay? Remember, it belongs to the Lord, and he will redeem them. He will forgive them, and he will restore them. And he will come to this earth and do all this, and he will wash them clean, and then he will give them their inheritance, okay? The Abrahamic covenant fulfilled, okay? The Davidic covenant. What a blessing that day will be. It's just going to be amazing. And that, it doesn't stop there. And then we have the new heavens and the new earth at the end of those 1,000 years. That's even more amazing. I can't even describe. Can't even describe how it's going to be in the new heavens and the new earth. It's just, you know, the book of Revelation, it tries to describe it with all these colors, and it's like a cube, and it's just amazing, okay? And so we think the millennial kingdom, it's going to be awesome. Garden of Eden, his garden replanted, refurbished, okay? Just brought up, renewed, okay? The land renewed. But imagine the new heavens and new earth. Oh my goodness. There's a description in it in Revelation chapter 20, I believe. Check it out if you haven't already, okay? And so last, okay, but not least, because why? I always have a scripture, and I changed it up just a little bit. I used to have right here at this moment in these videos, just John chapter 14, 15. That's it. If you love me, keep my commands. But there's more to it. And so I added it. I changed it because what? What is love? What is love? Okay. John 14. Okay. What is love? If you love me, keep my commands. Okay. Yes, I used to just have that one. But if you, I recommend you read John 14 all the way through. Okay. John 14. And I added verse 21. Okay. So John 14, 15, and 21. If you love me, keep my commands. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Okay, so very important, his commands, okay, his instructions, we're reading through them, his holy days, okay, his Sabbath days, his new moon festivals, okay, his new moon festivals, and just all these wonderful things that he has given us as commandments. But they should be a blessing. They are a blessing to do these things. They are light. They're not a burden. They're not heavy. And it is a blessing. They're glorious, okay? So once again, what is love? If you love me, keep my commands. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Okay. And so that's one of the scriptures. I always have that on a regular, but this is the one at the end before we finish off this episode. Okay. And so Deuteronomy chapter 8, 6 through 9 and 19 through 20. Okay. Once again, Deuteronomy 8, 6 through 9, 19 through 20. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. Now, if you time out there, the beginning scripture that I began with this video, this is the rest of it, okay? So if you want, go back, read that first one I read out of Deuteronomy. This is a continuance, okay? So this is a continuance. Verse 6 says, observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron, and you can dig copper out of the hills. And verse 19 says, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. That is a clear warning for us then. It's a warning for us today, okay? If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. And he doesn't wish for that. He wished that none would perish, but so that everyone could have everlasting life with him. Verse 20, like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. And so with that, we conclude and we give you an amen and amen. Yes, it's a little different, a little bit fancier there, right? Amen and amen. And remember, at the very end, stick around because there's videos there that you might have missed, maybe the last episode of Finally Following God's Laws, and some videos from our study in Luke, okay? So stick around and go ahead and check them out for yourselves, okay? So once again, amen and amen and Maranatha, okay? Bye for now, but never forever.